海紧缺人才培训工程教学系列丛书，英语高级口译资格证书考试，高级口译教程第二版，梅德明编著，由上海外语音像出版社录制出版，第六合。
Unit 14, Foreign Policy. Text for Interpretation. Passage 1. Chinese English Interpretation. Text Interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
女士们，先生们，当今世界正处于复杂的大变革时期，国际形势总体趋于缓和，通过和平谈判解决争端的倾向明显增强，多极化趋势进一步发展，广大发展中国家在国际事务中发挥着积极的作用，经济因素在国际事务中的作用日益突出，维护世界和平，促进经济发展，是世界各国人民的共同愿望。然而，影响稳定的不确定因素依然存在，霸权主义和强权政治不愿退出舞台，局部地区的武装冲突时有爆发，天下仍不太平。许多发展中国家仍然为经济困难所困扰，发达国家和发展中国家之间的差距继续扩大，世界和平与发展面临着无数挑战。我国奉行和平的独立外交政策，我国积极的外交活动不仅有助于为中国继续进行改革与开放创造一个良好的国际环境，而且也为维护世界和平，促进共同繁荣做出了贡献。但是，由于国际舞台上经常出现的新情况和新问题，我国外交工作面临着艰难的局面。因此，继续为国内现代化建设营造一个有利的国际和平环境，继续为经济发展、改革和开放服务，仍然是我国外交工作的基本目标。我国积极参与多边外交活动，坚决维护联合国宪章的宗旨和原则，维护联合国在国际和平与发展事务中的主导地位，旗帜鲜明地反对人权高于主权等新干涉主义的谬论，树立了坚持原则、主持公道、伸张正义、维护和平、促进发展的良好形象。我国和外国政府领导人之间的互访推动了双边关系的发展，我国同周边国家的睦邻友好关系继续深入发展，同发展中国家的高层往来增多，同西方国家的关系继续得到改善，我国同世界各国的贸易往来日益扩大，经济技术合作领域不断拓宽，我国积极参与国际事务，在和平解决国际争端、推动全球和区域性经济合作等方面发挥了重要作用。展望未来，我国政府将继续坚定不移地奉行独立自主和平外交政策，同世界各国建立和发展友好关系，反对霸权主义和强权政治，维护世界和平，推动社会发展，促进人类进步。我国将始终不渝地执行睦邻友好政策，愿与同所有的周边国家在广泛领域里进行友好合作。我们将继续加强同广大发展中国家的团结与合作，加强在双边和国际事务中的磋商， 进一步增进业已存在的友好关系，共同维护发展中国家的权益。我们希望在相互尊重、互不干涉内政、平等互利的基础上，继续改善和发展同西方国家的关系，增进交往，保持经贸合作的发展势头。我国是维护世界和平与稳定的强大力量，不会对任何国家构成威胁。我国愿意通过平等对话和以双边谈判的方式解决争议问题。我们认为，国家不分大小强弱，都是国际社会中平等的一员，都有权利选择自己的社会制度和发展道路。我们不把自己的社会制度和意识形态强加给别国，也坚决反对别国把他们的社会制度和意识形态强加给我们。我们主张在平等互利的基础上积极开展国际经贸科技合作，反对各种不平等和歧视性的做法。我们主张各国在和平共处五项原则和其他公认的国际关系准则的基础上，建立和平、稳定、公正、合理的国际政治经济新秩序。我国一贯致力于和平与发展的崇高事业，愿意同世界各国一道，为建设一个和平、稳定、繁荣、美好的新世界而做出不懈的努力。
Passage 2 English-Chinese Interpretation Text Interpreting Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure this morning to outline the most important instruments of modern American foreign policy, namely diplomacy, the United Nations, the international monetary structure, economic aid, collective security, and military deterrence. An understanding of these instruments, I believe, will help you further understand the conduct of American foreign policy. The utmost purpose of American foreign policy is to defend national sovereignty and national interests. In light of the history and development of American values, diplomacy has been regarded as the most important instrument to which all other instruments must be subordinated. Its purpose is to promote national values or interests by peaceful means. However, diplomacy, by its very nature, is often overshadowed by spectacular international events, dramatic initiatives, and meetings among heads of state. Worse still, traditional American distrust of diplomacy continues today, albeit in weaker form. Impatience with, or downright distrust of diplomacy, has been built not only into all the other instruments of foreign policy, but also into the modern presidential system itself. Due to the time limit, I'm not going to talk about this problem in any extensive way. The utility of the United Nations to the United States as an instrument of foreign policy can too easily be underestimated. Over the years since its founding in 1945, the United Nations has been more or less a servant of American interests. The most spectacular examples were the official UN authorization and sponsorship of intervention in the troubled spots of the world with an international peacekeeping force. Consider this fact. The United States provides an average quarter of the UN budget. Many Americans feel the United Nations does not give good value for the investment. But any evaluation of the United Nations must take into account the purpose for which the United States sought to create it, power without diplomacy. In many cases, a victory of the United Nations is a victory of the United States. In recent years, however, with the growing position of China and some other countries in international diplomacy, the United States can no longer control UN decisions as it did before. But the United Nations will continue to function as a useful instrument of American foreign policy. The World Bank was set up to finance long-term capital. Leading nations took on the obligation of contributing funds to enable the World Bank to make loans to capital-hungry countries. The U.S. quota has been about one-third of the total. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, was set up to provide for the short-term flow of money and lend dollars to needy member countries to help them overcome temporary trade deficits. The United States also has a big role in financing the IMF. American commitment to rebuilding war-torn countries came as early as its commitment to the post-war international monetary structure. Enacting American foreign aid constitutes part of the American foreign policy. During the last 50 years, the geographic emphasis of American economic aid shifted from assisting the reconstruction and recovery of Western Europe to Southeast Asia, and then to what became known as the Third World. Many critics have argued that foreign aid is really aid for the minority political and economic elites, not for the people. A much more important critique is that American foreign economic assistance has failed to contribute fully to American interests because its administration is often put outside the State Department. The United States gives great importance to regional collective security agreements. This country has enacted a number of collective security treaties, both multilateral and bilateral. A typical example is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. Americans realize that the United States cannot meet its world obligation through the United Nations and economic structures alone. There is a need for military alliance with other countries for national and world security. Consequently, the United States has consistently devoted at least 6% of its gross national product to defense. Military deterrence was a product of the U.S.-Soviet confrontation since the end of World War II, when the traditional American strategy of demobilization in peace and remobilization in war was broken. However, the size of the defense budget has not been central to the consideration of deterrence as an instrument of foreign policy. What is important is the advanced military technology, which is regarded by most congressmen as the primary deterrence in the world. Although Republicans and Democrats look at the world somewhat differently, and although each president has tried to impose a distinctive flavor of his own on foreign policy, they have all made use of these basic instruments. They all understand that power plus diplomacy is the best solution to the problem of controlling conflict among the distrustful nations of the world.
Extra text for practice. Passage 1. Chinese English interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
女士们、先生们，当前国际局势正在发生深刻的变化。冷战结束以来，世界形势总体趋向缓和。各国人民要和平、求稳定、谋发展的呼声日益高涨。 但是天下仍很不太平。霸权主义、强权政治在国际政治、经济和安全领域中依然存在，并有新的发展。一些大国奉行新的舰炮政策和新的经济殖民主义，使许多中小国家的主权独立和发展利益遭到严重损害，使世界和平与国际安全受到威胁。为了维护世界和平，促进共同发展，所有国家都必须严格遵循世界反法西斯战争以来所形成的国际关系基本准则，包括和平共处五项原则和联合国宪章的宗旨和原则。任何国家都不能无法无天，肆意违背和践踏这些原则。国家不分大小强弱，都是国际社会的平等成员。各国的事情要由各国人民自己做主，国际上的事情要由大家商量解决。这是一切爱好和平国家和人民的共同意志，也是不可阻挡的历史潮流。开展国际经济交往，应该坚持平等互利、共同发展。制定国际经济贸易领域的新规则，应该充分反映发展中国家的合理要求，注意保障他们的正当权益。发达国家应该也有能力承担更多的义务。任何国家都不得利用自己的优势在经济全球化中谋取特权和损害别国的利益。附加政治条件的经济合作和援助从来不受欢迎，形形色色的贸易保护主义既危害别人，最终也会损害自己。这种历史的教训不应忘记。南北经济差距不断拉大的恶性趋势应该引起高度重视，并采取切实有效的措施逐步加以解决。否则，穷国愈穷，富国愈富，不仅发展中国家的经济发展会受到影响，发达国家也难以实现稳定的经济增长。维护世界安全，必须彻底摒弃冷战思维，努力把国际社会的持久和平建立在促进各国相互信任和共同利益的新安全观的基础上。应该通过对话增进信任，通过合作谋求安全，相互尊重主权，和平解决争端。维护民族尊严和国家独立，自主选择本国的社会制度、发展道路和生活方式，不容许任何外来势力干涉内政，是各国人民的神圣权利，也是发展中国家走向繁荣昌盛的重要前提和根本保障。中国的现代化建设需要一个长期的和平国际环境和良好的周边环境。中国的发展与稳定，中国周边地区的和平与繁荣，以及按照和平共处五项原则建立和维护地区安全新秩序，是亚洲各国的共同利益之所在，也是中国的根本利益之所在。中国坚持奉行独立自主和平外交政策和防御性的国防政策。中国的发展不会对任何国家构成威胁，只会有利于地区和世界的和平与繁荣。今后中国发达起来了，也将矢志不渝地奉行独立自主的和平外交政策，坚定不移地同广大发展中国家以及一切爱好和平的国家和人民站在一起。己所不欲，勿施于人。中国坚决反对霸权主义和强权政治，中国永远不称霸，这是中国政府和人民对世界做出的庄严承诺。
Passage 2 English Chinese Interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
The American people deeply admire China for its thousands of years of contributions to culture and religion, to philosophy and art, to science and technology. Now we see China at a moment in history when your glorious past is matched by your present sweeping transformation and the even greater promise of your future. As the Chinese people have their values, we have our own. Americans share a fundamental conviction that people everywhere have the right to be treated with dignity, to give voice to their opinion, to choose their own leaders, to worship as they please. We must also admit that we in America are not blameless in our social fabric. Our crime rate is too high. Too many of our children are still killed with guns. Too many of our streets are still riddled with drugs. We have things to learn from other societies as well, and problems we have to solve. And if we expect other people to listen to us about the problems they have, we must be prepared to listen to them about the problems we have. The U.S.-China policy is one of pragmatic nature. This pragmatic policy of engagement, of expanding our areas of cooperation with China, while confronting our differences openly and respectfully, this is the best way to advance our fundamental interests and our values and to promote a more open and free China. I know there are those who disagree. They insist that China's interests and America's are inexorably in conflict. They do not believe the Chinese system will continue to evolve in a way that elevates not only human material condition, but also the human spirit. They therefore believe we should be working harder to contain or even to confront China before it becomes even stronger. I believe this view is wrong. Isolation of China is unworkable, counterproductive, and potentially dangerous. Military, political, and economic measures to do such a thing would find little support among our allies around the world. Isolation would encourage the Chinese to become hostile and to adopt policies of conflict with their own interests and values. It will eliminate, not facilitate, cooperation on weapons proliferation. It would hinder, not help, our efforts to foster stability in Asia. It would exacerbate, not ameliorate, the plight of dissidents. It would close off, not open up, one of the world's most important markets. It would make China less, not more likely to play by the rules of international conduct and to be a part of an emergency international consensus. As always, America must be prepared to live and flourish in a world in which we are at odds with China. But that is not the world we want. Our objective is not containment and conflict, it is cooperation. We will far better serve our interests and principles if we work with a China that shares that objective with us. By working with China and making our difference clear where necessary, we can advance our interests and our values in China's historic transformation into a nation whose greatness is defined as much by its future as its past. Change may not come as quickly as we would like, but as our interests are long-term, so must our policies be. We have an opportunity to build a new century in which China takes its rightful place as a full and strong partner in the community of nations, working with the United States to advance peace and prosperity, freedom and security for both our peoples and for all the world. I hope China will more fully embrace this mandate. For all the grandeur of your history, I believe your greatest days are still ahead. Against great odds in the 20th century, China has not only survived, it is moving forward dramatically. And as you build a new China, America wants to build a new relationship with you. We want China to be successful, secure and open, working with us for a more peaceful and prosperous world.
Unit 15, International Relations. Text for interpretation. Passage 1. Chinese English interpretation. Text interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage. From Chinese into English.
女士们，先生们，人类已进入了一个新的世纪和新的千年，这是人类发展史上的重要时刻。冷战结束以来，世界形势总体趋向缓和，各国人民要和平、求稳定、谋发展的呼声日益高涨。科学技术日新月异的发展，为人类开发和利用自然提供了空前巨大的能力，也为人类自身能力的发展开辟了广阔的前景。但天下仍很不太平，世界的和平与发展依然受到这样或那样的威胁。强权政治和霸权主义在国际政治、经济和安全领域中依然存在，并有新的发展。地区冲突此起彼伏，南北发展差距继续拉大，环境恶化，武器扩散，国际犯罪、恐怖主义等跨国问题困扰着人类。如果我们不抓紧解决这一系列重大问题，世界就难以发展。何去何从？解决这些问题的主动权掌握在世界人民手中。推动建立公正合理的国际政治经济新秩序，是各国人民和有远见的政治家必须认真而审慎思考的极其重大的课题。为维护世界和平，促进共同发展，所有国家都必须遵循公认的国际关系基本原则，包括和平共处五项基本原则和联合国宪章的宗旨与原则。各国的事情要由各国人民做主，国际上的事情要由大家商量解决。各国人民有权自主选择符合本国国情的社会制度和发展道路，创造自己的生活。维护自己国家的主权和安全，是每个国家的政府和人民神圣权利与光荣职责。任何别的国家和国际组织都应予以尊重，都无权进行干预。处理国与国的关系，应超越社会制度和意识形态的差异，努力寻求共同利益的汇合点，扩大互利合作，谋求共同发展。不能用一种政治制度和发展模式去规范世界。各个国家都应遵循世界是丰富多彩的原则，采取互相学习、取长补短的积极态度，以利共同发展。开展国际经济交往，应该坚持平等互利。 制定国际经济贸易领域的新规则，应该充分反映经济技术还不发达、处于弱势地位的广大发展中国家的合理要求，注意保障他们的正当利益。第二次世界大战以后，许多殖民地国家的人民获得了解放和独立，这是人类社会在20世纪取得的最伟大的进步。这些国家经济基础薄弱，处在发展的过程之中，离开甚至损害发展中国家的利益，整个世界就不可能稳定，更不可能普遍繁荣，就会带来诸多困难、风险和不公正、不合理的现象，最终发达国家也会受到损害。我们希望各国的政治家都能关注逐步解决南北经济差距不断拉大这一十分紧迫的问题。这个问题不解决，必将对全球经济的稳定发展产生极大的负面效应，人类共同发展与繁荣的目标就不可能实现。维护国际安全，必须彻底摒弃冷战思维，努力把国际社会的持久和平建立在促进各国互相信任和共同利益的新安全观的基础上。应该通过国际社会的共同努力，首先确立有利于世界和平与稳定、有利于各国和平发展的安全机制。任何国家都不能把自己的所谓安全建立在损害他国安全的基础上。应通过对话增进信任，通过合作谋求安全，通过和平手段解决争端。
Passage 2 English-Chinese Interpretation Text Interpreting Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
On the occasion of the 55th anniversary of the founding of the United Nations, it is necessary in our discussion of international relations to review the past and explore the future mission of this world organization. Thanks to the formulation and adoption of the UN Charter in 1945 and to the subsequent endeavors to put the Charter into practice, we have a clearer perception of the United Nations in a better light. The United Nations holds these to be its lofty purposes: to maintain international peace and security, to develop friendly relations among nations based on respect for the principle of equal rights and self-determination of the people, to achieve international cooperation in solving international problems of economic, social, cultural, or humanitarian nature, and to function as a center for harmonizing the actions of nations. The United Nations also commits itself to a number of sound principles, namely sovereign equality of all member states, settlement of international disputes by peaceful means, refraining in international relations from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state, and non-intervention in matters which are essentially within the domestic jurisdiction of any state. These represent the minimum code of conduct to be held by sovereign states in international relations. The role of the United Nations has gained increasing importance since the end of the Cold War. The increasing prestige is due in part to the fact that the Security Council has recovered from the paralysis which resulted from the US-Soviet rivalry during the Cold War, a period when the two superpowers used their veto rights against each other, thereby incapacitating the Security Council. The West, as well as the developing world, has discovered that it needs the United Nations to achieve its objectives. In addition, many global problems, such as the proliferation of nuclear weapons, rapid population increase, the worsening environment, drugs and refugees, call for the entire international community to pool their efforts to find solutions. However, the United Nations faces a series of tough challenges. One such challenge concerns the way in which the UN maintains its respect for state sovereignty while dealing with an increasing number of internal conflicts. In many cases, regional organizations cannot resolve regional conflicts. In the Cold War era, UN peacekeeping forces had two missions: to buffer conflicts and to implement agreements already reached between the parties. Now, peacekeeping has turned into peace enforcement. The United Nations has turned from handling international disputes into meddling in domestic affairs. Furthermore, peacekeeping does not necessarily need the prior approval of the countries concerned. Another problem facing this world organization is how to better handle relations between the United Nations and regional organizations. According to the UN Charter, regional organizations can play a role within the Charter and under UN coordination, but regional organizations such as NATO are playing a more important role than the United Nations in regional conflicts. We must recognize that the world today is diverse, manifold, colorful, and rich in terms of culture. This should be an asset rather than a debt of humanity. It permeates all aspects of human rights, whether civil, political, economic, social, or cultural. The world would be a better place to live in if we respected cultural diversity, practiced tolerance, and live together in peace with one another as good neighbors. We hope that the United Nations will truly become a center for harmonizing actions of nations. We call for stronger efforts by the United Nations to harmonize cultures through dialogues and consultation, as well as to resist any attempt to build a monocultural world by means of political pressure and coercion. The United Nations should take the opportunities opened up by the 21st century and meet the new challenges. We sincerely hope that under the firm support and close cooperation of its membership, a more just, reasonable, and effective UN will emerge to tackle international issues and contribute more to the building of a better world.
Extra text for practice. Passage 1. Chinese English interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
和平与发展是全世界人民的强烈愿望和迫切要求，这一世界潮流是不可阻挡的。 但是，有些大国打着人权的旗帜，在人权高于主权的新干涉主义理论支持下，蔑视联合国、践踏国际法、联合国宪章和国际关系的准则，借口人权实施霸权、践踏主权、推行强权，严重威胁着世界和平与发展。近年来，新干涉主义国家集团 明显地加快了全球战略的调整步伐。一方面，他推出了所谓的北约战略新概念，将冷战时期的防御性军事集团转变成一个超地区行动、进攻性的军事政治组织。另一方面，他加强日美安保体系，把日美新防务合作指针扩大到适用日本周边地区。 加紧研制地区导弹防御系统，并计划把我国台湾省涵盖在内。这种全球战略的调整已明显地给世界带来了不良的影响，即一个单极世界的建立在一定程度上阻挡多极世界的发展，至少使多极化格局的发展趋势减缓。我们清楚地看到， 在全球化加快发展的形势下，出现了许多全球共同性的问题，更需要一个协商协调机构。国际法和国际关系准则是人类文明的成果， 是国际社会秩序维系的基础，是符合世界各国和各民族根本利益的。作为体现和维护这些原则的联合国，一旦崩溃，世界将混乱无序，根本谈不上世界和平与发展。然而，联合国的威信和作用已明显下降。例如，在处理一些地区危机中，联合国瘫痪无力，甚至完全被抛开。这个最大的国际协调机制面临深刻危机，因此，我们对这个国际组织不能寄予过高的期望。在国际外交舞台上，国际关系始终离不开实力，弱国无外交，落后要挨打。中国必须奋发图强，增强经济实力、国防实力和民族凝聚力。中国作为国际大家庭中的一员，以最积极的态度和充分的信心，真诚的希望看到全球经济的共同繁荣。中国经济是世界经济不可分割的一部分。一方面，中国经济得益于世界经济的共同繁荣；另一方面，中国经济的快速增长和消费量的上升，提供了巨大的市场和更多的就业机会，从而也为世界经济的共同繁荣做出了贡献。中国的对外开放使其经济纳入了国际规则之中。中国一贯遵守这些规则，尊重国际惯例。中国除了同100多个国家签署了双边经贸协议之外，还加入了100多个国际公约组织。中国坚定不移地承担其所参加的国际公约和条约所赋予的义务。女士们、先生们，人类正处在维护世界和平、促进共同发展的关键时刻。世界潮流浩浩荡荡，顺之则昌，逆之则亡。一切爱好和平、维护正义的国家和人民应该团结起来，为反对霸权主义和强权政治，推动建立公正合理的国际新秩序而共同努力。
Passage 2 English Chinese Interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Our country assumes a practical and active posture in the pursuit of world peace. The United Nations has had no more consistent supporter than this country for its charter and the work of its specialized agencies. We take part in many UN activities and have served on many of its bodies, including the Security Council. Among the specialized agencies,and subsidiary bodies we support are those assisting in development, food security, children, drug control, and human rights. We have provided financial support, personnel, and equipment for almost all major UN peacekeeping activities, contributed our assessed share of the costs of all UN operations, and made additional contributions.Our country is fully involved in UN disarmament, arms control, and outer space work. We accept the jurisdiction of the International Court of Justice and are active in development of international law. Our country has been a member of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development for almost 30 years. Global economic issues,are among the core elements of post-Cold War international relations, and like other countries, we give priority to these issues. Our increasing dependence on international trade and the effects of world economic conditions on our domestic economy have led to a sharpened focus on international trade issues in the pursuit of our foreign policy.Our economic and political future is linked closely with those of its Asian and other Pacific neighbors. are trade, investment, and technology transfer in the form of joint ventures with such countries continue to grow. Through regular, reciprocal, high-level exchanges of visits, our close contact with their governments continues, particularly with the government of the People's Republic of China. We take the view that peace and prosperity in the Asia-Pacific region depend on the ability of the region's countries to cooperate to maintain economic growth and political stability. We are keen to ensure the stability and security of this region and to develop mutually profitable trade, investment, technological exchanges, and cooperation.
Bye.